In this week, on the 27th of April 2013, the Dons secured the win they needed to keep their Football League status after beating Fleetwood Town 2-1 at Kings Meadow, thanks to a 72nd minute penalty from Jack Midson. The victory, coupled with defeats for both Barnet and Dagenham, meant Wimbledon ended the season 2 points clear of the relegation places. It's a fantastic achievement, as well as a hell of a job when I took it back in October, a relief Neil Ardley was quoted as saying. I think the only things we need to say here is we are staying up, or we're continuing to stay up. We're the same old Wombles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth. If we win or we lose, we just go on.
Hello, hello, dear listener. Woo! Oh, my name is Matt Cooper. I'm so excited. And today I'm joined by mon frere, the football fixer. Is he going to smile? It's Niall Cooper. How you doing, Niall?
I'm going to smile.
Going to smile. I like it. I can see it smiling there. And, of course, our man with all the buttons, wearing his replica melon top in his hoops. It is Dr. Adam Proctor. Hi, Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Excellent. Understated as always. And of course, our man with all the football knowledge, the face of multiple opponents' podcasts, the Welsh Dragon himself, it is tall Mark Lewis. Hello, mate, how are you?
I can't believe you're still being rude about the multiple podcasts, because actually it's not my fault. We are staying up. Come on.
Yeah. Which aspect leads me on to the first thing. Whose fault? Who did the right thing? So, Mark, you weren't on any opposition podcasts. Well done,
not.
You.
I was not. I actually probably have to start with two different apologies. And maybe this is what happened.
Yeah.
The trick in this type of scenario, and I heard it somewhere else, is basically to take yourself away from what's going on. So you can't just be doom scrolling the whole time.
Yeah.
So it's a lovely afternoon. I went for a little walk with my wife to Nonsuch Park, if anyone knows that, sort of edge of Cheam and Epsom and so on. And then my wife said, I have to go to Sainsbury's, pick up some food. It's like, what? It's like 20 to 5 at this point, and it's still 0-0. So I have to go to Sainsbury's. And you know, she's a season ticket holder like me. She's just as passionate in her own way, but she doesn't doom scroll. And then I thought, you know what? This is the way it is. If anyone knows Sainsbury's North Cheam, you cannot the Wi-Fi coverage basically is non-existent. So I have to start the pod by actually apologising to anybody who was in the vicinity of Sainsbury's North Cheam entrance at about 4:49, 4:50, because I come out of Sainsbury's North Cheam with appropriate bits of food, and then finally can get some signal, at which point I notice that we are 1-0 up.
Oh.
And scream!
I know.
And let out various expletives, which my wife very sensibly, because she is a sensible one, points out isn't a very sensible thing to do because there are children of an impressionable age sitting and walking around this area. And I just point out to her that actually children of an impressionable age who are anywhere near Wimbledon need to get the passion for Wimbledon and understand what the significance is.
I mean, so
I apologise to any parents of that particular age whose children I may have somehow influenced.
I love the idea that you think we've got any people listening to us in North Cheam who've got children. I like that as a thought. But it was so
North
exciting.
Cheam's the non-posh side of Cheam.
Which, night? Where were you? What were you up to when it happened? Because I know that I have to apologise to everyone. Obviously, we were not at the game. Niall, where were you?
Well, I had spent the afternoon in Borough Market. And if that means that's the way we've got to do to get to win, I am going to be broke really fast.
Did you get some Humble Crumble?
I didn't get Humble Crumble. And I love, you know, I love Humble Crumble.
Yeah.
I do. I didn't. I bought some very nice Meadows cheese and some platier, nice like cheese, Swiss sheep cheese, some a challah bread, some mushroom pate,
Is, hang on, is this a football podcast?
I know. I don't know where he's going. He's just gone to a shopping channel.
Mushroom pie with truffle. I've got to say, with truffle in it. Like proper expensive.
How fucking more middle class?
I know. We're the same old middle class
models. Same, immensely middle class. That's it. And I then, that's where I was at. Got home just after kickoff. Then was like that. And I tried not to post anything negative on it, on the WhatsApp group. Those of us who are on the WhatsApp group know that I have been somewhat negative.
What, says the man who posted, we're fucked, about 15 times
last
after
week.
The Burton game.
Yeah, I have to say that you did tell me not to do that, and I put, we're doomed, because I had to change
okay.
it.
Yeah. So not swearing is... but I apologise for my swearing, by the way, if it's a little too excitable.
Anyway, what happened is I started typing... So I was like, you know, I'm desperate for some sort of stuff. I started typing, please, 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 and I press send. And the very next, literally 15 seconds later, it was, yes, you dons, all that sort of stuff, all over the WhatsApp group, because it was the 90th minute and Hackford had just scored the goal that is clearly might sweep an awful lot of the famous Same Old Bumbles Awards, because that was a proper sort it out Jackson moment of the highest extreme.
So the answer to the question was, where were you yesterday? You were at home, yeah, on your WhatsApp. I mean, it's fine. I mean, you gave me the morning thing. Yeah, you gave me the whole shopping channel thing. I like it. It's cool.
I mean, like, I'd recommend those cheeses, very good, and I'd recommend the mushroom pate with truffle.
Thank you. We're not on commission now. If only we were getting paid by someone, it would make life easier. Particularly for Adam.
Adam, if you are out there, come and sponsor us,
Adam. How are you? Where were you yesterday?
Well, my build-up starts on Thursday because I started wearing the hoops top on Thursday.
I can't believe it. I thought it was bad enough having Niles Saturday morning. You've got 3 days build-up.
Yeah, Thursday I'm like, I'm wearing the hoop top. That's got to be the top. That's got to be the one we're wearing. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday and today, obviously, I'm wearing the hoop top. Where was I? I was in Germany watching the game, obviously. I was at home on a VPN, which is a completely legal piece of software, and was able to watch the Don's TV stream.
You can go through now. You can go through now.
We're safe. It doesn't matter.
So, yeah, I watched it at home. It was a really good...
the person that does the song? It's wearing the same old jeans for 4 days now. Is that... That's like relevant to Adam. The same football top for 4 days now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was a good game. It was a good game. I mean, we defended so well for large chunks of the game. I'm not sure what the setup was, but it was five at the back, I think, most of the time, maybe six. But yeah, we did a very different type of gameplay to what we've done before. We kind of held back and let them come at us, but defended really well. And of course, then the subs made a massive difference. Literally the three subs.
All three subs, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, all three subs for the goal.
Oh, well, so that was your build up has basically been to wear the same top for the last 3 days.
Yeah, because we discussed the things. I never really wear this one. I always wear the home top.
Yeah.
But I thought, maybe I should switch it up. Maybe I should, if I change something, it might give us something. And I was kind of thinking we were going to do it. And I was positive all the way to the end.
I love it. I love the fact that we still think that we have this influence. I actually decided, because it was nice day, I decided to put the hammock up. So I sat in my hammock with the headphones on, listening to the football and watching all the text coming through as well. And I was sort of swinging myself gently backwards and forwards in the hammock. And then towards the end of the game, as it became more fraught, I was sort of like swinging myself very quickly backwards and forwards to a point getting more and more anxious. But when I saw the text coming through, the yes text, I was out of the hammock walking backwards and forward in the path, so anxious to then wait for the final whistle. So I just kept thinking, because we've got a habit of conceding in those last few minutes as well. So I was, in actual fact, I think there's still a stat, Mark, because there was one we were talking about earlier in the season about the amount of points we've lost from being ahead. So I was still so anxious.
It can't be any more than Huddersfield. No, Huddersfield, I've set some kind of ridiculous record, you know.
But just so nervous, so nervous.
We must remember at Saturday as well, was at half time we were in the relegation zone.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's just.
And at that point, I was in the garden sunbathing with, you know, listening, watching the whole thing. Amelia is there as well, and we're just like, you know, Amelia's now gone to uni, but we were both just kind of going, oh my God, this is like about as bad as it gets, you know, doom, gloom, and all that shit. I restrained from saying that on the WhatsApp group, got to say, but I was feeling somewhat gloomy. And then miracles happened, basically.
See, it's easy for me to say.
We should also mention a miracle. We should also mention a miracle today as well.
Oh, I was coming on to that. I'll come on to that in a bit. Yeah, which is amazing.
Yeah, when you come on to that, I've got a very interesting WhatsApp to read.
So anyhow, dear listener, so just to put you into it, obviously, it wasn't just the men's team that stayed up. The women's team, amazing effort and stayed up. We'll come on to that later on because I was sort of feeling so made up from it. It's brilliant. But yesterday was incredible. Going back to the match, and we have to remember that we've done all of this without Brown, Lewis, Bugle and Stevens, and most of the side being like half fit, you know, like Hippolyte, who came in, who started yesterday, we didn't think he would do. He wasn't completely fit. I think there's things around Smith not being fit. Bauer has been immense coming in and doing it. So, and we've had, you know, Leighton Stewart coming in and doing his thing. But it's incredible to think that we got across the line. Absolutely amazing.
That is not, all those players are not fit. Right. Yeah. I mean, like, Bishop's clearly not fit because McDonald's back in. Well, Bishop, I think this is a whole, we are nursing a lot of injuries, a lot of stuff. So to get over the line, my God, I am so relieved.
That was interesting. I mean, that's a good point, the McDonald-Bishop thing, because JJ's comment after the match was that he'd been in a situation like this before. So he probably felt that McDonald was more mentally prepared for a game like this than Bishop was, which is interesting. And, you know, it does beg the question is, you know, Bishop had been dropped for a period of time. I know he was injured. Will he be our first choice keeper next season? Are we going to look for another one? But I mean, you know, that's a conversation for another time. But it was interesting that we made that choice as well. It was great. I mean, the one thing though, because I was watching the highlights, which are very short, so I only saw the little bits of the highlights. But they did look. Did anyone think that it looked like there was should have got a penalty in the second half? Leighton Stewart being pulled back.
Yeah, there was.
I've seen that. I've seen comments about that on socials.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember exactly. But
and
I,
you
yeah.
thought it is Mark? You can't just say I've yeah. seen comments. About
no,
it.
No, I haven't actually seen them. I haven't actually seen. I've seen the comments about it. I haven't actually seen the footage of the foul. You know, but I mean, if you go back to certain other things that have happened, which we could have obviously we did at the time cry about and would have would have been most upset about had we ended up the wrong side of the relegation line. You know, that the two-handed foul on Brown and Burton, for example.
We've
had a few penalties this season, and Matt Stevens has been pretty solid with them. But then that would have been a big angst thing as well, because who would have taken them?
Yeah.
Because we know Reeves can take decent ones, but he obviously hasn't been in the team, understandably and justifiably. Who out of the team that would have been playing there would you have actually trusted to take a penalty and stick their foot through it?
Well, you would say Stewart.
You'd hope so, but he's never scored a goal. And what kind of pressure is that if that had been the goal that the penalty he had to take to stay up? I mean, I think one of the, you know, everyone looks at omens because football fans are really weird like that. When I saw that Orient were losing, but then I actually looked into it and saw that Orient were losing after they conceded a penalty, which Blackpool took. It hit the post, went across the line, hit the back of the goalkeeper's leg and went in for an own goal. I did begin to think, okay, maybe suddenly, finally, something is turning our way in terms of the fates.
Yeah, this is the thing about football fans. It's crazy, isn't it? Because, like, you know, we're thinking, you know, Adam, you'd be wearing that top since Thursday because you're like, you know, that's the, you've got to change it up. you know, no one was saying any doom or gloom thing. No one proclaimed in the lead up to it that we'd stay up. You know, it was all this sort of like, you know,
Adam did. I have to give Adam his kudos.
And Adam definitely did.
Like, I was the only one that stuck his neck out and said, we're definitely going to stay up at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Adam was the only one that said, basically, stop being dooming, glooming last week as we were in the pod, because we're going to stay up. So fair play to Adam. Well done. Yeah. I'd love to say I had your faith, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And I'm not a complete hypocrite.
I'm hoping Jude got the right sweets in. I mean,
She didn't. She did. Thanks to Jude and to John Giddens, who also responded, because John's part of that group. And I saw John midweek in the gym, because we share the same gym. And he said, I'm going to Wigan. In that, why am I going to Wigan tone of voice? And please, can you come to Wigan with me? Because I think I'm completely mad for going. And I thought, John, I'm not going to go to Wigan. I can't really afford it. And, I'm going at the time. And I went to Grimsby last year and it was all worthwhile. But then I messaged him again today on socials and said, you know, fair play to you, John, for doing it. Because he said, look, it was another awful game, but it didn't really matter. I'm
particularly looking forward to now, Sheffield Wednesday and Leicester.
Absolutely. Yeah, adding to the 92. Yeah.
I think I'm just looking forward to just enjoying next weekend. Like, just going to a game of football and not having to worry, not concerning myself. I think probably the football match is going to be secondary. My sense is going to be there are going to be a lot of people who are just going to be in the fan zone. drinking and maybe popping into the match to watch 5-10 minutes and going back out to the bar. I have a feeling it's going to be like that. It's going to be that. Do you remember weirdly, was when we got relegated, I think.
Nobody watched the game. We had to win 97-0 or something like that.
Yeah,
and then we went 2-0 down or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think we lost 4-3. Either won 4-3 or lost 4-3. But no, this will be different in that regard.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at, for example, Oxford yesterday, who needed to win to stay up, but other results, other games played before them, and it meant by the time they kicked off, they already knew they were relegated. They played really relaxed football and won 3-4-1.
Yeah.
You know? And to me, that would be nice, because we don't know, and I think we should go on to it later in the pod to talk about, you know, the keep and release.
Yeah, who's going to keep? Who's going to stay?
Because by this time next week, they'll obviously be out immediately after the Huddersfield game. So there will be players that Saturday against Huddersfield will be the last time we see them in a Wimbledon shirt, unfortunately, sadly. And therefore, actually, you know, you want to be able to give them their due and then give them the appropriate, because they've all, in their own weird and wonderful way, contributed to helping all of us. And as fans, and helping obviously the team and the squad stay up the season, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it has been amazing. It was quite interesting, I thought, from JJ saying after the match that it felt for him as good as Wembley, and I completely get that. I mean, I was so anxious, and there was such an outpouring of joy. I was sorry, I just wasn't able to share it with you guys, you know, to be together, but it was just.
Matt just froze.
We've lost Matt. He was in such an outpouring of joy that we've lost him. Actually, it's probably a good time for me to repeat why I put on our WhatsApp last night. I actually had kind of he's back. Hello, we lost you.
No, he's gone.
Matt's fading in and out.
No, you're saying Mark.
What I was just going to say is why I thought. I genuinely talked about it with my wife, and obviously we've all had experiences of relegation before. The relegation at Southampton is so bad that my wife still to this day has not forgiven the Southampton fans for laughing at us. Sorry, Adam. But actually what I put in the WhatsApp group was that I was quite relaxed about the prospect of getting relegated. In other words, I think I'd come to terms with the fact that it was going to happen, and I didn't think I was obviously sad, but I wasn't, you know, particularly massively emotional about it. At least that's what I thought. And then the strength of my belief and the strength of the swear words I talked about that I unleashed in the supermarket car park on seeing Hackford's goal would indicate that wasn't perhaps slightly different.
Yeah.
I felt slightly otherwise.
I think we're all like that, aren't we? We all felt that we would kind of like resign ourselves and we're looking at the good things. So I was thinking, a trip to York would be nice.
I definitely thought that.
Yeah, and not having to play certain teams next season, I thought would be like quite Bromley, nice as well. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, but like you, Mark, I was like, it's brilliant. We're staying up. I mean, I think next season is going to be incredibly difficult. I mean, we're going to have to perform miracles in the transfer market.
The difference is that a lot of teams, when they go up, have that kind of confidence momentum, which we had at the start of the season. And instead, we're going to start the season, like, potentially, at best, having got 2 wins out of 11.
Well, we're not, because we're likely to start the season, you know, maybe with a core of players. I don't know, and we were second guessing, but the core of our team to start next season may well include Bishop, Smith, Ogundeyer, Johnson, Stevens. How many is that? Five or six? So half a team we have and half a team we don't have. You know.
Before we go on to, I think it's really important, because we should go on to talking about next season. I think we need to have a bit of time to talk about the women's team.
Yeah, just coming to that. What happened today
was amazing, yep. Right? So basically, everybody knew that Cheltenham were going to thrash the hell out of Billericay because they were bottom of the table, and therefore they were going to go above us. Two teams go down. And so we had to basically win or pray other results went our way. And with, what was it, 12 minutes to go, we're down. We're down, and we're down quite badly, because Exeter are drawing, and we needed Exeter to not to beat who was
Walia.
All of Wales, and we were
losing 2-1 against Hashtag United, who were directly above us. So it was like we needed two games to swing, and in our game the three goals would all be own goals. And it was the legend that we have spoken of to on this podcast, yeah. The person that we've got the utmost respect, and who Matt's got the sneaky suspicion is going to be player manager next year, Ashley Hinks. And if you see the goal, and which you really should do, it is a beauty. It's an absolutely lovely goal. Bit of cutting in inside and out, and then a curler into the far corner to get us a point, the 2-2. Meanwhile, we're all dependent on Exeter. And Exeter are drawing 1-1, and it goes to, very like the men's team, except we had a game left. This was it. This was the last bit. Exeter get a winning goal with 2 minutes to go, and they win 2-1, and we stay up on goals scored. Basically, had Exeter won 5-4, we'd have gone down.
Can I read out the WhatsApp I got?
I like this. I'm hoping it's not going to get us into any trouble. But this is from a fan,
so this is a fan's interpretation. Okay.
Yeah.
There are other ones, but I'll just read out this particular one.
Yep.
He says, yes, we stay up. We scored one proper goal, and in the other match, another team's result went our way, as Niall's just explained. So we stayed up by drawing this match. However, both teams were naughty at the end. One of our staff was watching the other match and realised a draw would be enough for both us and Hashtag, who we were playing against, to stay up. So after lots of screaming from both benches, their goalkeeper had the ball in open play and didn't kick it up the pitch. We obliged by not approaching the goalkeeper. So for 2 minutes, nothing happened until the final whistle.
Oh, dear. But, you know, why wouldn't you? Do you know what I mean? If you found out what the score is in the other match, why wouldn't you take advantage of that?
What I would say to Kevin Foster and George Rino and all the other coaches and all the players, obviously, in the squad, led by Ashley Hinks extremely well, is that they went to Gwalia away about a month ago and got thumped 5-0.
Yeah. Yep.
And at that point, I think everybody really seemed to think, from afar like us without knowing the results, as well as possibly even within the squad, that actually that was it, and you know they were on a downer and they weren't going to be able to come back. And they roused themselves brilliantly. I have to say, the game I went to a couple of weeks ago, where they beat Exeter 2-0,
yep.
That was one of the best performances by a team in yellow and blue I have seen for probably like way back to the playoff final at the end of last year, both men's and women's, genuinely, because that was such a team of belief and effort and focus and commitment and self-confidence that it was lovely to see that, and gave me a lot of, you know, quite genuinely cheered me up overall. So
no, it's absolutely fantastic. And I think we have to say, you know, and it's difficult because, Mark, you've been out of game, so you've got an idea about the strengths of the individual players. But it feels to me, time and time again, when called upon, Ashley Hinks delivers the goods. And it's a great goal that she scores to equalise. And I just think there's something about her. She has this sort of energy that kind of lifts the side. So I genuinely would not be surprised if she becomes a player manager next season. It'd be quite nice to have a female manager of the women's team. I think would be quite a good statement for us to be making. But Ashley Hinks, she keeps on delivering, which is absolutely fantastic. And she'll obviously be looking for sponsors for her match boots against next season. So, you know, get in there, people. But incredible. I mean, it's just what an incredible weekend for both sides, for the men's and women's team to stay up. Just an amazing achievement, considering the budget of both. Because when we spoke to Ashley earlier on this season, she was saying, you know, the budget for the women's team is dreadful. You know, the teams around have got much more money. And again, we know that the men's team, our budget is like 23rd lowest. I think apparently Exeter have got a lower budget than us. Again, we've exceeded that expectation.
I was told, just in passing, that the board, the PLC board, gave Jackson a target of a set number of points. And he's exceeded that. He actually had exceeded that before the game in the win yesterday against Wigan. So having done that, obviously, that in itself is absolutely amazing. And equally, we always try and exceed the overall budget thing. So even if we'd finished 20th and gone down, which we're not going to do, thank goodness. But even if we had done that, we would have still exceeded our actual budget, as you just said then, Matt, by at least three places. Now we're going to exceed it by four or five or six, possibly, depending on the final day's results.
Yeah, there was someone on, you know, there's always someone who likes to put a little bit of salt in the sweets, who said that Lincoln's budget isn't that much bigger than ours. I mean, I've got no idea about what that.
So you think with Lincoln, they got some new owners midway through the season, right? So they got a massive boost midway through, and they're also. They lose about 5-6 million a year or something like that. So, like, you know, and they are, I mean, they're really well run. You know, I champion Lincoln. I think they're a great club and I love all the people around Lincoln, but they definitely spend way more than we do.
Anyone who can spend £500,000 on one player as they did on Towler pre-season, they're not really lacking for a bob or two, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. So they might have a small budget, but not as small as ours. And we're going to have to do wonders again. But, you know, talking of one thing we haven't mentioned, we haven't really got into is the winning goal yesterday. You know, we're coming into the 90th minute, throwing finds its way to Sass. And, you know, he's got his detractors, but it was a beautiful piece of skill to sort of like drawing three Wigan players towards him. And he knocks a great ball through to Nelson on the edge of the box. He takes a touch, puts it in, and Hackford gets right in front of his man, which is what all good strikers should do, and smashes it in. It was great. And you could just hear, you know, if you watch the replay, you could just hear the noise of our fans. And it's, what was it, almost 800 of us went up there, which is amazing. You know, it's amazing in so many different ways because our performances have not been great. So you could understand why there's not a lot of people going up there because it's, you know, sometimes difficult. It's expensive to get up there as well, you know, the time and everything like that, but it was brilliant. And there was a wonderful, if you watch the clip on Sky, there's a great bit coming towards the end where they cut to this guy in the crowd chewing on his nails. You know, you get that real sense of nervousness, but wow, just brilliant. And just so amazing that our supporters do turn up and we do cheer our side on. I mean, and I think next week is going to be a really different atmosphere.
It's going to be, I think it is like that. It will be a bit of a party. The game will be a bit of a, like, you know, whatever. It will feel a combination of, like, it will remind me, I think, like Sutton United in that first game ever, where we're just there. You know what I mean? It's like the fact that we're there and we exist and we've survived. And it doesn't matter. I think there'll be a lot of very drunk Wimbledon fans. Yeah. I think the food outlets will do an absolutely stonking trade, and we'll be giving out our awards somehow or another.
Yeah, Well, that's it. We'll come on to that. But I'm hoping that also next week, you know, it is a chance for the women's team to come on the pitch in front of, you know, what will be about 8,000 people and take the applause. And I'm also hoping the academy side get on the pitch as well, because they've won everything. They've been absolutely incredible. In actual fact, wasn't it? They've won a cup and they've won their league, and they've got another cup coming up against Luton. Is that right?
Yeah, they're playing Luton at Luton. I think on Wednesday afternoon, Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon. Yeah.
So I mean, like, so the academy has just done incredibly well. I think we were talking, because we were mentioning a bit about them the other week, and the trouble being that when the men's team, and this is a thing, it's the bagpuss effect, I like to call it, when the men's team is doing badly, it doesn't matter how everyone else is doing, the mood just deteriorates. So, and I think that's a shame, because the academy have done amazingly well, and that, you know, they were kind of like shadowed by what we've been getting up to, and the women's team have survived as well. So it's just, you know, there is going to be a real sense of party, and I hope everyone gets the acclaim, because, you know, they all deserve it. The academy deserves to take that applause in front of our fans. The women's team deserve to take that applause in front of our fans, and as does JJ. You know, because he's done incredibly well. And there was a lot of people, a lot of detractors. I don't know how on earth he's managed to pull this together with, you know, what was it, 8 first teamers out at one particular point, and even yesterday, you know, we're missing key players, you know, Brown, Lewis, Bugle, Stevens. We're missing key players. So to be able to put that sort of like side together,
and to be fair, a bit massive cojones to JJ, because even missing all those players, he made the call, which a lot of fans have actually been calling for quite a while, to keep Reeves on the bench.
Yeah.
And then even pushing for a win, he didn't bring Reeves on, he brought Nelson on. And as you outlined, Nelson set up the winning goal. So
yeah. I mean, it's just, it has been amazing. And I hope people realise that. Because also the other thing is that in that horrendous run, it wasn't like, A, we weren't getting spanked, and B, we were playing all the sides near the top. You know, so we were playing sides, you know, Luton were chasing, Plymouth are chasing. It's been really hard work. And when you play those sort of teams
and you've got, and the amount of injuries, I mean, the Luton game was just like, honestly, it was just, you know, whoever trod on that, you know, kick the cat or whatever, broken mirror. I mean, it was just like all of us must have done something shit, something massively bad that day, because everything went wrong. You know, that's the kind of way it is. I think what would be really interesting now is to just look through who stays and who goes, you know, who, yeah, out of that lot, you know, when you go through the team, you know, I think I probably should think about who actually, as a player, wants to leave, because I think there will be some that I think, you know, we could say, right, that I don't think Hippolyte's one that will stay with us.
I think my sense has been there's been videos earlier on in the year, and I saw something on a clip saying that someone had spoken to Hippolyte, and he sort of mumbled whether he was going to stay or not. And I think he's gone. I think he's.
Do you want to do it? Do you want to just like just go through?
Yeah, let's have a look through. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm thinking. Well, you know, it's interesting
because obviously Mark's got the squad with him now. Let's go for it, Mark.
Bishop.
Well,
got,
obviously you got Bishop McDonald in goal.
But how long? Bishop signed, and I think he signed at least a 2-year contract, if not more.
Yeah, so did McDonald. So they're both under contract for next year, and they've both played sufficient games. So I would keep them both. Whether Bishop will want to stay or whether he has been injured and has just been having to play through injuries, I don't know.
Would you keep him?
I think he's good enough.
Oh no, I'd keep them. But would you maybe take someone on loan and release McDonald, for instance? If Bishop's going to be the future of the club, would you potentially get someone, you know, someone on loan?
With McDonald, when he's come in, hasn't really let us down. You know, he's a very good reserve goalkeeper.
Did anyone think when he came back that we really were going to have him in goal for many games, and were they particularly happy about it? I don't think they would have done. No. However, you know, yes, he was in goal for a lot of that poor run. You know, the likes of Stevenage away, But he was in goal for the Northampton home win. I think he was player of the game there, player of the match there, and the Blackpool home win.
Yeah.
And he also played the Stevenage defeat, the Lake Norwegian defeat, which definitely wasn't down to the goalkeeper. And then he played Stockport away and Peterborough at home. And then Bishop came back in the team. So I don't think you can put that run down to him in goal at all.
No, no.
Is that Bezo has had a good eye for finding a good goalkeeper or whatever and working with, that sort of stuff. So I think you never know. With Bezo might have an eye of another really good, talented young goalkeeper who might come through. And we've had plenty of those in the past that have gone on and been brilliant. But if we don't change those goalkeepers and we keep those two, fine.
What I think is important to think about with all of these players, whatever position, going into this season, I'd say the only players we had that would have played in League One or the Championship, or higher, obviously, would have been Hutchinson and Bauer. And I don't know that anyone else necessarily would have played particularly many games at that appropriate level. Now, of course, a lot of them have done. And some of them have been found wanting. However, we've done enough to be able to stay up. So those that we do keep, those that we want to try and keep, or those that perhaps we want to get back, like James Tilley, for example, now say with justification they are good enough or not to play in League One.
Yeah, and I think the other thing which is really important is, we weren't able to make any changes to the squad until really late in the day. Because we just didn't know what division we were going to be in. So we weren't know who we were going to be able to get, because we had such a short turnaround between, winning the playoff final, which you've got to bear in mind is a month away from here.
Oh yeah.
So that's a month losing.
Craig Cope and Johnny could be going in Monday morning and knowing exactly who they were going for, who we're going to get rid of, who we're not.
Yeah.
They're starting now, whereas we were
a month behind that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're the first playoff winner in 4 years from League Two to stay up.
Yep.
The last three have all gone straight down again for precisely the reasons you've just outlined, you would imagine.
Yep.
So we go for the defence, right? Who stays in defence?
Well, Asimwe's on loan, so he goes back.
Yep. And I don't think he'd be someone we'd be getting back, to be honest with you.
No.
Oggs stays.
Oggs stays and he's on the contract. Johnson's on the contract and stays. Yep. And I'd make Johnson captain straight off, whoever our squad is next year.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion. Seddon, I'd love to keep.
Yep, love to keep Seddon.
Yeah. Will we? Who knows? I mean, he's been bouncing around. He's been at lots of clubs for just a year or so, rather than staying somewhere for a long time. The fact he's come back to us twice, you'd like to hope would mean something, but can we afford him? Who knows? Bauer? Yeah, who knows? I think he's almost one of those that had we been relegated, we would have kept him. Bauer was just a year, because again, he was coming back off a serious injury. He was in the PFA group. He has shown that he really gives a what's it by coming back in the last couple of weeks when he said it clearly hasn't been fit.
He's
probably expensive though.
Do you think he's done brilliantly? Well, how old is Bauer, by the way?
He must be 31, 32. He played like 180 odd games for Preston.
No, he has done brilliantly. The last few games, he's done absolutely fantastically. He really has been a rock. And Johnson, amazing.
I would have Bauer in your group of four or five centre-backs.
Yeah,
I'd have him in that group.
We need five centre-backs.
Yeah,
we need five centre-backs. If we're playing three at the back, we need five. So that would be, Johnson and Oggs, definitely. And then it's...
Bauer's 33. He'll be 34 at the end of October.
So do you have? I mean, my sense is Lewis might be going, and the only reason I think that Lewis might go is that he's brilliant, and I love that man. But he has missed a chunk of the season.
I think sadly there would be moments where Lewis has been inconsistent or responsible for an error that's led to a goal, and there's been quite a few of those. And I'm a fan of I was a fan of Lewis. I think Lewis is absolutely brilliant. Last year, I think that he's kind of like on the way down, and therefore I'm not sure about Lewis. I think we do need. But what's interesting is about haven't we got a couple of young centre backs that would maybe what is one of those going to fit into that five that you talked about?
So here's a question. How many games do you think Lewis played this season so far?
23, 24?
26. And he played 36 last year. That's that's league games, you know. So there's your problem. He's obviously going to want to have a certain wage. Lewis fit is a definite asset to our team.
Yeah.
Lewis, since Christmas, has not been fit, and we've tried to rush him back a couple of times. Really hasn't worked. I'd agree with you. Maybe Horan. They brought Horan back, obviously, and he hasn't played, but he was in the squad. I saw photos of him in the dressing room at Wigan. Maybe he's your fifth centre-back. Obviously, we can't speculate as to which other players may potentially come in. But if you've got Johnson, Oggs, maybe Horan as a fifth one, then you're going to keep one out of Bauer and Lewis. I suspect Bauer may even be cheaper than Lewis. But if you get Bauer fit, maybe not as first choice, but although a lot of us thought, actually, you know what, is he really all that? When he's come on, he hasn't really let us down. There's a stat somewhere which I can't find right now, that the combination of Oggs, Johnson and Bauer has actually been really quite solid.
Yeah,
and I saw that they played 10 games together and won 6, drawn 2 and lost 3 or something like that, or whatever it was. That was 12 games, whatever.
Over a whole season, you take that comfortably.
Yeah, exactly. I think you, do you know what? I think we cannot underestimate how brilliant Oggs has been for this whole time. He's kept that defence going. He's just been immense. That guy is. I would have it up there as one of my players of the year. Definitely.
Oggs is a player, right, who you'd probably say does 7 out of 10 nearly every week. And I'd say Bauer, you'd probably say does 6 out of 10, right? That's how I'd view those two. You know, they're pretty consistent, which is good. What you kind of want that. You kind of feel like there's a solidity there, which is cool. And Seddon on his day is a good player. I think we've got to look at the other side.
Seddon on his day is a good player. The man is going to be he's going to be player of the season.
Well, his day has been virtually every single day this season, apart from when we played him as left side centre back, which obviously showed the paucity of the squad.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I would say the centre backs are Oggs, Johnson, Bauer, and then it's two others. You know, if we keep Bauer, that is. I mean, so it's, and I'm not entirely sure if I'm convinced yet, Mark, that Horan is ready.
You may well be right.
I think he probably needs another season somewhere. So he needs another season in, ideally, the conference. That would be the ideal, the conference or top near the conference south. But
I don't know. I think he's. Well, we don't know. Look, I mean, I can see both arguments, Matt. Then in middle, I think middle's got some change.
Well, we've got Seddon on the left.
Yeah, definitely Seddon on the left.
If we can keep him.
Are we saying thank you very much to Hutchinson and goodbye?
Yes.
I think I'd agree with you.
As sad as it may sound, but you know, sometimes you just have to say, look, you know, it was a good idea, but he's only played like 3 games all season.
Yeah.
And he's far too expensive in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, he's always going to have sort of like a legendary status that, you know, never going to take away that moment at Grimsby. I mean, that's just incredible. So he'll always have that. And also the last few weeks, he's come back in and done a job for us, which has been incredible. So, and any help we can give him and whatever, I think that's great. But, he's going to leave. If you go through to centre mid,
you've got a total of, I mean, I'm not ignoring Tilly, but Tilly is a lonely player.
Yeah.
Would we have Tilly back tomorrow? Yes. Can we afford him? Who knows?
Yeah.
But the I saw a clip from the Wickham manager, and literally the quote from the Wickham manager was, he said to his players in the dressing room, because they lost 4-3, I think, yesterday, and therefore they mathematically can't make the playoffs. He said, you've just wasted the last 10 and a half months of your life, which is pretty brutal. But actually, arguably, that's what you're there for. And when we played Wickham at Christmas, when then Kane looked pretty good, but didn't get us anywhere. We lost 2-0, and the Wickham directors all asked us how much we'd take for Inking. They looked like they were going to be, you know, moving on up and crashing into the playoffs, but they haven't made it. They haven't managed it. But yes, so will Tilly be released? Who knows? He's probably a year into a 2-year deal, at least.
Yeah. So that would be the interesting thing. I mean, like, he doesn't have to go. I mean, they can't release him.
I suspect, you know, if there was an opportunity where they said, okay, here's a few months' wages, and then he's a free agent, and then obviously he can negotiate with whoever, you know.
Yeah.
So midfield, Reeves, Maycock, Smith, McCoy, Splatt, Hippolyte, Sidwell, Jennings, and I'm going to put Sasser and King in there as well because we know that they're not really wing backs.
Reece is gone.
Yep, Reece will go, and he should get a really good send off when he should get some minutes on the pitch next week and get that send off that he deserves.
Agreed.
Reece is gone. McCoy Splatt, I can't make any judgment on because I've never seen him and don't know, so no idea. But I struggle with that. Hippolyte, I think he's gone.
Hippolyte's gone. Yep.
Hippolyte would be one that we'd want to keep. But again, how many games do you think Hippolyte's played this season?
24.
Really? I'm putting him in the 30s.
Adam?
You're wrong.
He should be 30s, really. But I don't know.
So he started yesterday, which is the first game in quite a while. 32 games he started, 9 as sub.
Yeah.
Scored 3 goals.
See, he is a good player for us, but
he's great.
I'm not sure. He wants to.
That's my sense. I would love to keep him, but my sense is that he wants to be somewhere else. I don't know where he's based or what his.
He's a London boy. No, he's a London boy because they did the day in the life type thing of him.
Yeah.
Last season, and he was in somewhere like
I don't know. Anyhow, I get a sense he wants to be somewhere else. McCoy Splatt's on a deal with us. I mean, and I think. We'll see how he does in pre-season. Maycock, I think, is a very interesting one.
I'd give Maycock most improved player of the season if we had a most improved player thing, you know?
Yep.
So we obviously keep Maycock, we keep Smith. I think we need at least another 2 centre-backs. And I don't know, this is where is Sidwell and Jennings now in that sort of mix? Are they players that, do they come into being on the periphery because they've spent some time on loan, and then this would be the season where you'd expect them to have that opportunity to maybe break through. And that group of young players were all that group. I think that they were the lot that went and got to the quarterfinals of the FA Youth Cup and Newcastle or whatever it was. So that's that group of players. So I think there's a couple of them that will probably, this is their year.
But I mean, this year it's only been Nkeng, and it was only really Nkeng out of necessity rather than out of choice, because we had all those injuries and illness and sickness down at Exeter in the middle of winter. So he's broken through. And the thing for me is, with certain players, I'm putting Nkeng in there, I'm putting Sasser in there, and I'm putting Jennings in there. Let's iron out, and maybe we need pre-season to iron this out.
Yeah.
What position do we want them to play in? If we think Sasser's a centre-forward, fine, then do we genuinely think he is going to get us enough goals as a centre forward? If you think he's a left wing back, whatever position it is, but play him in that one position. I mean, Nkeng this season has played centre forward, or number 10 at least. He's played left wing back, right wing back, left wing and right wing. And he's 18. I mean, that's pretty harsh on anyone to be able to expect them to be able to take on the nuances of what those different positions entail and what how you need to play differently in those
but
regards.
This again is a problem that we have because we know the preferred formation is 3-5-2. That's the preferred system that he wants to play. I mean, he can adapt it to a 4, but Nkeng is a winger. You know, he's not necessarily a wing back, so that's a difficult thing. If he's playing in a 3-5-2, he's going to need someone who's going to really help him out at the back.
I mean, you could say, if is Nkeng a player that if you had 4 solid midfielders and you had like Nkeng go and do your stuff, like a complete free pain in the ass, just wander where you want, pick the ball up where you want. I would fucking hate marking Nkeng if I knew he was just going to wander around doing whatever he wanted to do.
I think
you need a brick shit out centre forward to hold the ball up so that he can actually get some possession.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Maybe he plays in a two up front with a brick shit house. The trouble is, we haven't got the closest we would have to brick shit house, and he isn't that at all. He's Bugle, because he's capable of holding the ball up more than any of our other forwards.
I mean, yeah, it's getting tricky. I mean, and Mark, you're right. I mean, where does Sass play? Is he a striker? Is he a wing back? And then
Well,
is it King?
here's a question. Would people keep Sassi? And if they would, where would you play him? Because I'd play him up front, but therefore I wouldn't keep him. Because his end product up front is 5 goals in 70 games, including substitute appearances, 4 of which came in the game against Cardiff Kids that we all quote millions of times.
I don't
The
think.
thing with
I don't
Sass
think.
is Sass is like, Sass has got, in my mind, squad player written all over him at the moment, because he's capable of filling in a few places.
I
That
just.
that's the issue. That's where it is. But do I keep him? I don't know. I kind
I
of
don't.
thought.
I don't. I don't know. I don't know if I see it. I mean, I think he did a brilliant bit of skill yesterday, and there's some moments. But I think there's something. I think JJ sees something in him. I genuinely do. I think there's something that JJ's got. So, and he has to do, if
And the
he's going to
something is
stay
what?
next season.
Versatility.
I don't know. I think a
I
knife for
think
goal. I
the
think
thing, thing you
that
should go
Cardiff
back to,
game.
we could go back to, is the fact, sense that we did not have a proper pre-season. We've had a shed load of injuries, and that JJ's actually going to have like 5 weeks before the playoff, people have all sorted themselves out or whatever, to really work out what we want to do. We can have a proper pre-season. We can properly plan. And he can start thinking about who do we want to have in certain places. So I wouldn't be surprised if Sasu stays. I wouldn't be surprised if Sasu goes. And I wouldn't, neither of those would m make me, make me bothered either way.
I mean,
So.
and in terms of if we could get Tilly back, that would be a brilliant thing on terms of a wing back. We're going to need another wing back because, and so he's gone, and Sass probably isn't that person, unless JJ thinks he is and he has to play there. But I think we're going to need something strong, and we're definitely going to need another. If Hippolyte goes, we're going to need a replacement for him, at least one, if not two.
A proper left-sided, because he's ended up playing Maycock a lot of the time left-sided,
Yeah.
and it's really negated his effectiveness, which has been box to box through the middle. As I say, most improved player that I think we've had this season. So I'd re-sign Maycock. I'd release Reeves. Jennings, I think, is still under contract anyway. Smith, we know we have for another year. McCoy Splatt, I can't imagine we would sign him just for a year.
No, I think we got him for two. So I mean, obviously he was injured, so he's got a lot to do in pre-season.
We've no idea what he's like, so.
And then, of course, you've got the plethora of players that are masquerading as strikers. I say masquerading as strikers slightly harshly because how many of them scored goals? So Omar Bugle, no particular order. Omar Bugle, well, squad order actually. Omar Bugle, Josh Kelly, Marcus Brown, Matty Stevens, Antoine Hackford, Osman Foyoh. We've already talked about Sasu and King. And Stewart obviously isn't our player. If here's a question though, if we could get Stewart and Nelson, would you keep or want to re-sign either of those?
I'd like to sign Stewart.
I'd
From
sign
what I've
Stewart.
seen of Stewart, he looked useful.
I
If
think there's a
that's the
player in
word.
there. I think there's a good player in there. I think Stewart, I think if you could have Stewart and Bugle, and but again, and Adam, I'm going to
If
break your
you're
heart here. I'm not
thinking
even sure.
forward with
I'm not
your
sure that Bugle's
forward,
staying next season. I think JJ's going to look for something else.
I would, if you were looking at it and you were going to go, right, who the 4-4 is going to keep, you would, in my mind, I'd keep Stewart, I'd keep Stevens, I'd keep Brown, I'd keep Bugle.
But as a
I still
four,
don't, I
they
still
haven't
think
scored
that
enough
Stewart.
goals for us.
But
Pardon?
the other thing is
But
Hackford.
Brown and Brown, like, what would it be like if we actually could have Brown and Stevens playing together?
Oh.
And I know that the best combo, according to the stats, has been Brown and Bugle. But again, we've not had a settled forward line because they've always been injured.
True.
Loads of other teams in our division may well have had two forwards who have played together for 40 games. There'll be lots of other teams like that, and we have not got that. So that is a massive difference for us. A fully fit Stevens, a fully fit Brown. Fleetfoot Bugle. Those are three good players. I still think and I'd like to have a Fleetfoot Stewart, because I think Stewart offers something that we haven't got, and I'd be happy with those four.
The
Adam,
big
Adam, what's the pro bugle?
well, I think can I just say one thing? The issue we've got out of those, Stevens is definitely with us next year. Brown is contracted to us next year, but my sense is that
Somebody go for Brown.
now will be the time to cash in. You know, I know he's injured, but now will be the time you cash in. Bugle's out of contract. Stewart's not our player. Kelly's going. Foyer, we're not sure about. So the one of the player Foyer, we know he's I think he's contracted to us, and Hackford is contracted to us. So at the moment, in terms of contracted players, Stevens, Brown, Foyer, Hackford.
Yeah,
But
see, I
even
think
if they're
Bugle's got.
contracted, you can still put them up for sale. Doesn't
Yeah.
mean you're going to get anywhere with them, but you could make an
No.
agreement to
So I
say, okay,
think.
Foyer, we
And
know that
that's what
Sun might
we will
sign
have,
you, for
won't we?
example.
Yeah. I think
We
Foyer.
will have that list, won't we? Like pretty much,
Yeah.
you know, next week or whatever, or straight after the Huddersfield game. It will be like, you know, the key transfer market, whatever he has. You know, I know under conversations, I'm mentioning. But the thing is, you can't have a conversation with Tilly or Stewart because they're not ours. And I probably want to keep both of those.
Yeah,
Nelson's an interesting one as
and
well, mate.
also the other thing is with that list of, you know, there's a Stevens, Brown, Bugle, Stewart, Foyer, Kelly, Hackford, and that's strikers, and then you could add Sasu and Enketh. So in theory, but you know, we need a strike. We need someone who's going to put the bullet in the net.
I think we should at least give Adam his opportunity to the play the what's the word? The case for the defence and in favour of keeping Bugle.
That's a tricky one because
I just
I'm
think.
he lives quite far away, doesn't he? So unless he gets a really good deal, he might be looking for another club. He might think I could do better in League Two. You know, he did step up to League One this season and then has been injured.
Yeah, Bugle stats, 21-22 for Sutton, 39 games in League Two, 4 goals. 22-23 for Sutton in League Two again, 35 games, 6 goals. At which point we sign him, and he scores 13 goals in League Two in 42 games. So he plays basically all season. Last year, he scored 4 goals in 39 games. This year, he scored 5 goals in 30 games. His influence, however, and his
Is much,
usefulness is
yeah, it's
well
much
beyond
well
those
beyond that.
bare stats.
Yeah, it's like we looked at that. I remember, Mark, you doing the stats on Bugle Brown as a combo, and that is a very effective combo because Bugle's basically releasing Brown to do stuff. You know, and I see that, Adam. Just putting it out there, I see the benefit of Bugle, right? I while not the Adam Proctor level of Bugle fan, which nobody in the whole of the football stadium is capable of being. I would definitely be an admirer of Bugle.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say, I don't
I
think
mean,
we can't
I,
really afford to lose anyone. This is the thing. We need to add some people.
but no, yeah, I mean, I think there are players we want to release. And if we were looking at the most notable players on that list that we talked about, potentially going would be
Yeah,
Reeves and
they
Lewis
make sense. And Hippolyte,
and
yeah.
Hippolyte.
I think
And
Reeves,
Hippolyte,
Lewis,
yeah,
and
Reeves,
Hippolyte
Lewis,
gives
and
you a chunk
Hippolyte.
of budget at,
Yeah.
relatively speaking, within our actual resources.
Yeah. I
Yeah,
mean,
I
I
mean, like,
think.
obviously, we'd like to keep Tilly. I'd like to keep Stewart.
Yeah.
I'd like to keep Hippolyte. But I'm not sure whether we'll get those because I
But
think they could be.
we also need to bear in mind that you know, all these players we're talking about have kept us just above the relegation. So is there people that we need to bring in that could be beyond that? I mean, I certainly in terms of wing back, because that's going to be the most interesting place for me, you know, the same way going, who comes in at that right wing back. I think
Oh, I think, and if we
that's
lose
where we need
Tilly,
to have someone really strong.
and if we lose Tilly as well, I
Yeah.
mean, the thing as well, we've got to remember is yes, the form has been diabolical, but there will be very few teams that have had to go through, you
What we've
know,
gone
because we've all
through.
got small squads, eight,
Yeah.
what would be first team players out,
Yeah.
you know, and like particularly at centre back, where we've been totally
Oh, yeah.
decimated,
Yeah.
and like in up front, centre back and up front, you know. Stopping goals, scoring goals, and we haven't had people in either of those positions. You know, the front line, when was the last time we played like anywhere approaching our first choice front line?
That's right. I mean, for me, and Mark, I don't know what you think about this. I mean, I would be quite happy if our four strikers, and this was it. We're always wanting that four because we look back on that season where we got promoted and you had Elliot, Tom Elliot, you had
Taylor,
Taylor, you had
Aziz.
Bezo and Aziz. I mean, that was, I mean, I
Yeah,
think
good
in
one.
recent times that was the best forward line. But if it was something like Stevens, Brown, Bugle, and Stewart, I'd feel that's not a bad. That wouldn't be a bad. That wouldn't necessarily be bad, and
The only
maybe
caveat,
Hackford as well.
the only caveat to that for me would be that Stewart and Stevens and Brown are relatively similar players. And we've seen enough times, and we bemoan Johnny for not making substitutions around the 60th or 65th minute. But you look
Or
at the likes of
for a half time, some for some people.
even, yeah. But the point is, you look at someone like Plymouth who are able to bring on someone like Bim Pebble, who brick shithouse type size and physique. And that obviously costs a lot of money. But actually, even if you were interchanging those strikers you just mentioned, with the exception of Bugle, you're not really having anyone there who's really
Yeah, I think Stewart's a
absolutely
different player. I think
threatening.
I
Stewart
thought
looks
Stewart's.
like a different type of player. Stewart's a
I thought
different type of
Stewart was
player.
like a bugle. I thought Stewart was like a
Yeah,
bugle. That's
but I
why
think he's
I
only
prefer. More
about
like
five
to hold ball
nine.
up.
He's not physically that tall. Wikipedia is our friend. I
Okay.
was about to say, for example, would you sign a striker that scored 13 goals in League One in the last couple of years in about 45
We can't
games?
afford it. So.
Well, interesting point, because those stats, for example, are Tom Eaves of Northampton, who've just been relegated. And obviously, he's probably based north of London or south of London to be playing for Northampton. And he played for Gillingham before that. And he is 34. But that's the kind of stats that we want or we
Well,
need,
that's the
necessarily.
thing. Like, I think that our truth is, when it comes to players, we're either gonna look to get someone who is, like towards the end of their
Just kind
career,
of.
or you're looking for someone who's lighting up
So
Conference or
it could
Conference
well be like a
South.
Paul Bell player, right? Or something like that. Or, that sort of a. Or person who are the teams that are on the periphery of the playoffs in League Two would be the sort of places that we go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at someone like Drynan from Swindon, and again, I don't know where he's based, but he's been the top scorer, I believe, in League Two this season. And by the look of it,
Yeah, he's not
Swindon
going to
are
go
the
to us,
best
is
team.
he? He's not coming to us. I mean, anyone who's the
Why
top goal
not?
scorer in League,
Why
and if you're the
not?
top goal scorer in League Two, you're gonna there's because there's more money. You'll probably end up looking at that place. They're going to be because we can't afford that. I mean, I think if we're
But
going to
again, here's
get,
the interesting thing. He played at Orient for 3 years, scored 15 goals in 85 games, and has gone to Swindon. And in 2 years at Swindon, he's played 85 games and scored 29 goals.
League in
So
League in League Two.
in League Two, yes, in League Two.
Yeah.
But this season he scored 20.
Money,
But
money.
actually, this season is by far and away the strongest season he's ever had. 22 goals in 40 games.
I'm sure there
How
are
old
loads
is
of
he?
people on our list. I mean, the truth is we're gonna have to thin
So
this squad
Craig Cope
out.
is going to have to do what he did a couple of years ago, because we all said that Craig Cope hasn't pulled any, particularly rabbits out of hat this year. Yes, getting Tilly back, but we lost Tilly in the first place. Seddon, good, right? But like, not really players we didn't know about. He needs to do his magic, and find a couple of people that are like that. I mean, we picked Stevens up. Well, Stevens was from Forest Green Rovers, wasn't he? And they just got relegated. So it's that kind of person that we're after.
I mean, I think the issue is we're gonna need to thin out our strikers, and I don't want to be losing Brown, but I have a feeling that he's gonna go because that's money at the bank.
Brown's had a good season for a club, for a side that's not had a, there'll be suitors for Brown, there'll be suitors for Nkeng, I would have thought.
Definitely.
So
I would have
listen,
thought.
chaps. We this is going to keep us going for the summer, and I know that Adam is so excited about our
So
summer
excited.
series. He genuinely believes that next week's going to be our last episode. But
Between now and next week, Adam, I'm going to look for a load of special guests.
Don't you worry. Don't you worry, Adam. We'll keep you busy over the summer.
What we've just done there is fairly ruthlessly released at least half of our squad, and therefore that frees up a little bit of budget. You know, what? The likes of Leo Young, Sidwell, Ethan Sutcliffe, Ed Leach. They're all on squad numbers this year, but they've all barely actually got anyone near the first team. So how many of them could be necessarily carry?
A lot of those have had good times on loan at other clubs.
Correct. But those loans on the clubs would have been down at sort of Ryman League level.
No, just quite a couple of Conference South, aren't there? So a couple of the people at Sutton were their bottom of the Conference. Am I bottom of the Conference? Bottom of the Conference South? I don't know.
No, they just stayed up in the Conference. They were like two places above relegation zone. Right, one place above Aldershot, who had your man Will Nightingale in the centre of defence all season.
Well, listen, chaps, I think we are going to come back to this time and time again, because I think there's going to be lots of wonderful rumours and whatever it is going on over things. But one other thing, and I haven't heard anything otherwise. So today, London Marathon Day, and Hayden was running alongside Daddy Pig. I mean, I'd like to think that they did run together. That would have been amazing. But
I've seen some good photos of him.
It's a warmish day. A warmish day today, and running in these conditions all that fur that Hayden has. I just think, what an amazing achievement.
I've seen some good pictures of him running, and these next to people are literally wearing like a tiny t-shirt and shorts. I'm like, oh my word. That full outfit, that's going to be so hot.
I know. It's going to be baking. I wish all the best in the world. But raising money for the Dons, for the... Is it the foundation? So, he's just doing incredible. Well done.
I think he's going to be quite tired when we see him on Saturday.
Yeah, I think so. And in party mood. So this brings us on, because we've put our awards up, and I have to say, chaps, I've taken a decision not to go with the Harry Pell Award, because it just became very confusing. So we had three awards, which was the Sort Out Jackson Award. This was for best sub, and we were struggling basically, and we already thought that the winner was going to be Callum Maycock. But if you go on to socials, you check us out, you'll see that we put the poll up there. And the nominations for best sub are Hackford, and Hackford, all for the 90th minute winner against Wigan. So you can vote for any of those, to be honest with you. I've been looking online, and people have voted in different ways, for different Hackford versions. But it looks like it might be a win for Hackford in that one.
Close though, isn't it? I think
it is close. It
could be a controversial runner-up. Of Hackford.
You know what I really like about that? You put them up on socials, and on socials, different people have voted for different things.
Different
I haven't even found it yet. I've been trying to... I deleted the X app. I can't find it. Brilliant.
Check out same old Wombles.
No, but this is the funny thing, right? I did a search, because I delete the app every so often because I hate it, and again, it pushes you to the app. So I did a search for same old Wombles, and it literally, on X, it said, like, nothing has been posted ever. It was so weird.
Well, I just looked it up, and it's,
no, I asked when I asked you a screenshot of the thing, I found it was so funny. So I was like, "Hang on a minute, this definitely posts."
Yeah, that is it. But you probably use it a VPN. You could be like searching somewhere else. And then the Who Ate All the Pies Award for the best food outlet at Plough Lane. We've got we've gone for our four staples, the people that have been with us for the last few seasons. So that's Naked Chips, the Slovaki, wonderful sort of like kebab things that they do, brilliant wraps, Doshak, amazing pizzas, and La Posta. So those are our four that are there. So you can have a look. And dear listener, I just want to say this one thing, which is really important for you to know, is that you might vote for these people and you might look at the polling and go, that's the winner. But we generally ignore the votes, and we just vote on, we put who we want to win. So, but you know, it's a bit of fun. And this particularly comes for the last one, the Club Person of the Year. And by the way, I've missed someone, so I'm going to have to repost this. And I can only apologise to George Jones because you are on my list. You're on my list. So
he'll be drunk. He'll be celebrating with the women's team.
Our five nominations are Ray and Sharon Armfield for the brilliant work they do both with Wish and with Whopper. Ray does amazing work with Whopper, keeping that all going. And I think we're like the second largest number of ex-players are linked in with us, which is just incredible work. Angus Fox is up there because I think he's guided the DT through of what has been a very tricky time. And then we've got the Bond stuff, which has come out of it, which has been brilliant. And we went to the 50+1, which I know Niall just loves. Then we've got George Jones. George, amazing work you're doing as the secretary, my friend. That's brilliant. We have put Kevin Foster in there, the manager of the women's team, who stayed up. Fantastic work. Great servant for the club, 10 years. And then we've got Joe and Teresa Pellegrino, who have been servants setting the wonderful the Wimbledon program. Whether that physically continues, who knows? But they've been doing brilliant work there.
I'd like to hope so, but I don't know, and I don't have any inside information at all. So,
and we are hoping to get our cups ready for next week, which means I have to get on with ordering them. So that is where we're up to, people. It's, you look out for us next week. We're going to be in different sorts of moods, but we'll be handing out our trophies and saying hello to people.
Can I just mention one other thing?
And obviously, Mark,
because it wouldn't be same old Wombles if we didn't interrupt you.
Exactly. Whilst I'm trying to wrap up.
There's only one person who interrupts, though, at the end, is you.
Absolutely. I've got to live up to my reputation, mate. So we can't go down mathematically, which is quite nice. The question is, who do you think will go down? Because obviously, as we said, Rotherham are down, Port Vale are down, and Northampton are down. But it's like a three-way fight, actually, isn't it? I think, mathematically.
I'll
tell you who I'd like to go down. It's different to who I think will go down.
I think Peterborough is safe.
You'd like Peterborough to go down, and you think that that Exeter will go down?
Actually, I think I'd like Peterborough to go down. I think Orient will go down.
Yeah, I think you might be right, because I mean, again,
Orient shouldn't. Orient at home to Burton. Burton will be on the beach. Orient should get through there. I think Orient will be a bag of nerves, but I really would like Orient to stay up. I'd like Exeter to stay up, and I'd like Peterborough to go down. But I just think Exeter got to beat Bradford, which is hard. I don't know if Peterborough got two games to go, haven't they?
Got two games to go, so you can imagine that really would be a big fuck up. But yeah. Peterborough's form in the last six is four defeats and two draws.
Who are they playing?
I think Peterborough got Mansfield, haven't they, at home or something like that?
They're playing Mansfield and then Doncaster.
I think
they'll lose to Mansfield because Mansfield are on some stupid run. Of form, and I think they then go to then that. Are they at home or away at Doncaster?
It's a good. I think they're all at home.
There's no way that Peterborough don't.
They're
pick
home
up
both
one
games.
Point.
They're home to Mansfield on.
That's
Tuesday
why I was trying to work it out because I was like, what, two home
I
games?
Think they'll lose to Mansfield, and I think it'll come down. You'll have Peterborough at home, Doncaster, Leighton Orient at home to Burton, and Exeter at home to Bradford. Exeter got the hardest game out of those three.
Bradford could still drop out of the playoffs.
Peterborough still only need a point, don't they?
I think Bradford are in it. I think Bradford are safe.
They've got 74 points, so the Luton would have to get.
But Luton beat them, and Luton's goal difference is plus 11, and Bradford's plus 6.
What's Luton? Aren't they on 71, okay. Well, I mean,
Stevenage win, they have 75. Luton win, they have 74, and they have plus 12.
So Stevenage and Luton both have to win.
I genuinely can't see it. Chaps. Steven. I mean,
Luton's form is fine.
No, Luton are probably getting, but I don't see Bradford dropping out. I think Stevenage will drop out.
Bradford have got two wins, one defeat, and three draws, and they haven't won in four games.
But they need a draw. They need one. I mean, my feeling is, I think, do you know what, Mark? I think in hindsight, I think you've been spot on. I think that last week Exeter had their Hartson moment.
Yes, they did.
I think that was it. Their goalie comes up in that last minute, scores that goal. Everyone celebrates and, you know, thinks that could be it. But they've got to make up, what, 2 points, haven't they? So they have to win. They have to win. Hope Orient and Peterborough lose. I can't see it. And also, if they do win, are there level points with Peterborough?
So if Exeter won, they would have 52 points. Which is the same as Peterborough already have now. But Exeter's goal difference is -8. Peterborough's is -2. Leighton Orient, however, have 51.
No. So you're right. Go for that, right? So Exeter would win. So they'd have at least a +3 goal. And their goal difference improved by 1 to -7.
-7, yeah.
And right, Peterborough would have lost 2 games. They'd go down to -4.
4, minimum, so actually, true.
Start getting into...
That's
right,
close.
How close do they lose? So, like, even just on losing by 1 goal, right, there's a margin of error. So I think it would be very, very... If Peterborough lose to Mansfield, then they'll be very, very nervous, because I think you'll be looking at Exeter just going, fuck it, we'll just throw their whole world at it. So
I think if Peterborough go down, that would... I mean, I just can't see it. I mean, I think it's so much that has to go wrong.
But it does sometimes. I mean, you started talking about the Fleetwood game. Yeah. I'd forgotten with the Fleetwood game that not only did we have to win, but 2 other teams had to draw.
No, because Mark, I remember that we only had to win because Barnet were playing another team that were around it. So it was like one of them wasn't going to win.
Neither, that's both what we were going to say. Yeah. If you look at the form guide, Northampton have just lost 6 in a row. Port Vale have won 2 out of the last 6, but lost 2 and drawn 2, so that's average. Rotherham have lost 4 out of 6 and only won 1. Exeter have only won 1 of the last 6 games. We say their form's improved. Actually, they've drawn 4 out of 6, which is an improvement for them.
Orient
have got 2 draws and 4 defeats in the last 6.
I would like to see Exeter stay up because, you know, they're a fan-owned club. I don't think it's going to happen. How does their goal difference compare to Orient's?
So Exeter +51, scored 51, conceded 59. That's -8. Orient scored 57, conceded 69. That's -12. So if it came to it in that regard,
Orient would go down
if they only drew. So actually, they have to win to stay in to keep it in their own hands.
Yeah. Yeah. But they are at home to a side who, you know, are safe now. And
but the Orient, you know, the Orient social stuff is absolutely toxic. You know, they all want Wellens out. Wellens managed to get himself a 3-match ban, so he's not on the touchline either.
Hey, we didn't even mention Terry Skiverton getting a red card.
They were in the playoff final.
Oh yeah,
we're not sure. Yeah, the ball came over and he punches it away with his hand. It's going to hit him in the face. But I think the conversation I heard was that I think he said something to either the fourth official or something at the same time. It was instant red. It was unbelievable. I just thought it was... I honestly thought the ball was just going to hit him in the face, so he's punched it away. But clearly there was a bit more to it than that. So it's very weird.
Anyhow, chaps, on this momentous day where we can celebrate both the men's and women's team staying up, brilliant work by Kevin Foster and JJ, all the team involved, has been one hell of a season. We've got one more game to go at the men's team, which we can just enjoy ourselves at. We'll be handing out our same old Wombles awards, whatever they are.
This is, it's major. The levels of sponsorship and all the kind of interest that we get by having our team stay up is massive. So I am also just super pleased to be able to come next weekend and not really worry about the football.
Chaps, until next week, dear listener, we're the same old Wombles and we are staying up.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth. If we win or we lose, we just just go on.